Hi, you're watching The Rose to Cheltenham, and I am but a caretaker this week. Very sadly, Lydia has been called away at the very last minute with a family emergency, so I am just keeping the seat warm for her arrival back to the show, back to this seat, a week from now. I am delighted to say, however, that Rose to Cheltenham regular Ruby Walsh is alongside me to guide me through the next half an hour, so at least one of us knows what we're doing.
I wish I'd guide you through the wardrobe before you turned up in a shirt and tie. That probably would have been a good start on my behalf.
Well, I wanted to give the show the respect I thought it deserves. I know how much work normally goes into this broadcast and the preparation for it. I mean, I can't promise the same, but...
So, in other words, I have to buck up, is it?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Fair enough, right. I'll wear a tie next week.
But you're here for your knowledge, and you've got plenty to say this week. Interesting time of the year. And we will start off with the novice hurdlers, because there have been plenty of clues in the last 7 days. And we're going to kick off with a horse that has been on everybody's lips since he made his racecourse debut last year. Andy Dufresne, one of the most eye-catchingly named horses in training. And he's doing it rather nicely at the moment. But that's telling but half the story of the Skybet Moscow Flying novice's hurdle last weekend, Ruby.
It sure is. But Andy Dufresne settled much better here in this race in Punchestown than he had done previously in Navan, where he raced a bit keenly and made the running. Robert Power's gone along in front, and anything he will do, Andy Dufresne settles well, and he got into a good rhythm. Now, you are on the inside track in Punchestown at this time of year as well, so it's more of a speed track than a stamina track. He jumped really well and had to battle hard to win. It's probably a little hard to know watching this, you're thinking, God, should he go back up in trip? But he's won over 2 miles and half a furlong around a tight Punchestown, so in my opinion, he has enough pace for 2 miles.
The horse in third keeps catching the eye because he's quite keen at the moment. He's Captain Guinness, Rachel Blackmore, running for Henry de Bromhead. This horse must have loads of ability.
He sure does. And he had been an eye catcher previously in a maiden hurdle in Navan, where he was coming out of the pack, I thought, on the day to actually come and beat Black Bow, who fell at the last. And Captain Guinness won well, coming from way off the pace. But it was evident after a short period of time on Sunday why he'd been so far off the pace in his maiden hurdle. When you look at him here now, he's starting to really race in Rachel's hands. He's very quick over this hurdle, lands up beside Andy Dufresne, and now the fight is lost. And he goes and pulls his way to the front four. It's an obviously inexperienced way of racing, and he is exuding an awful lot of energy compared to Andy Dufresne in the McManus colours, the white cap, who's lovely and relaxed.
And you think at this point, well, there's no way that Captain Guinness could be involved in a good finish with Andy Dufresne, but not a bit of it.
No, and look, these are fair horses behind. I mean, the third horse there is rated 135 or 6 in the light blue colours. Meticulous was having his first start over hurdles, but wasn't a bad bumper horse. And you see Captain Guinness there absolutely flies the second last, and Mark Walsh has to get after Andy Dufresne in second place. But he gets up to Captain Guinness on the bend. But to be fair to Captain Guinness, you think right there and now he's going to fold and trot. But he doesn't. He finds a bit as well. Rounds off the sharpish, and the bend's not that sharp, but it's downhill, and he starts to motor, and you're thinking here, wow, this is really in the balance. But Captain Guinness, having raced keenly early, doesn't have the energy to throw a big jump at the last. He's a little bit awkward. Andy Dufresne pigs it and gets the upper hand and holds it from there home. Look, they're two really good novices. I mean, look how far back the third horse is. This is a really good race. It's been a good trial in the past. Does he stay at 2 up to 2.5? I think with Envoy Allen around, he's probably going to stay at 2. Captain Guinness could be an Arkle horse next year.
But you don't think Captain Guinness is quite ready for a Cheltenham novice hurdle this time round? You see, I'm a sucker for him because I could just see him, he just exudes class.
Yeah, I think I could see, just you'd have to line up, you'd have to go there. Do I think he'll cope with the whole occasion, the event, being away from home for a couple of nights? Just watching him racing through the race there, he's a bit on edge. I think the whole experience will do him the world of good, and he could be a better horse next year.
Well, you've been commenting on Andy Dufresne's success at Punchestown over Captain Guinness on Facebook, and the whole novice hurdle picture in its entirety. Damon Moffat says, not sure Envoy Allen will be losing any sleep should Andy Dufresne go back up in trip, as Gordon mentioned, and go for the Ballymore. And Jeff Hopcraft said the second will be some horse once he learns to settle electric at his hurdles. Exactly what Ruby's just been saying. What about the Envoy Allen-Andy Dufresne potential matchup, or do you think it won't happen?
I don't know if it'll happen, but I just think that the Irish novice hurdlers, you know, from Abacadabra is at 2 miles right up to latest exhibition Longhouse Poet as Albert Bartlett horses. I think it's rock solid all the way through. And you have Envoy Allen smack bang in the middle of it. I think they're a really, really good crop of novices.
And there's one horse, called Conflated, who provides us with the perfect prism through which to look at all these Irish novices, essentially, and try and assess their relative merits.
He does. I mean, you look at Conflated, and he's, in fairness to him, he's run a consistent level. He ties all the form in. He ties in Latest Exhibition, Andy Dufresne, Envoy Allen, Longhouse Poet, Elixir Danny, Abacadabras. It all ties in through Conflated, and we can have a look at it here now in a second. It's really interesting, and it just backs up how good a bunch of novices they could be.
Envoy Allen was a winner at Nace, and again, Conflated was in behind on this occasion, finished fourth. You can see him there, well beaten Envoy Allen, miles in front. And Elixir Danny, the runner-up's got to be a big player as well.
It does, but to be fair to both the second and third horse here, Longhouse Poet and the Red Cap, Envoy Allen has done enough. He's only pulling up in front, but the second and third keep running to the line. So I think that was 3.5, 3.5, and 7.5 to Conflated, or something in or around that distance. You know, which was an extra 6 lengths that Envoy Allen put into Conflated than Latest Exhibition and Andy Dufresne managed to do in Navan. So Conflated ties in there, and he ties in again in Navan, as you'll see in a second.
Yeah, Navan, in the Navan Novices Hurdle, we can have a look at Conflated running there as well. We'll just take the closing stages of this, and you can see. Now, this horse here, the purple and yellow silks, you think is a bit of a forgotten horse?
I do a little bit. I'm sure he'll go to Leopardstown for the Knight Frank Novices Hurdle and at the Dublin Racing Festival over 2 miles and 6. This is a really strong stayer, Latest Exhibition. He made a bad mistake at the first hurdle down the back, and he's grounded out here to beat Andy Dufresne, who we saw dropping back to win over 2 miles on Sunday. But actually, when they flash by the line, if you just see how close Conflated, who dropped out of the shot, gets when they shoot by the line, you know, Conflated stays himself. But, you know, this exhibition and Longhouse Poet from the Nace race would look the ideal Albert Barter horses, maybe Elixir Danny as well. Whereas you have Envoy Allen in the Ballymore, and then you have Abacadabras back at 2 miles. It looks a really good bunch of novices.
If I was going to say clubhouse leader in each division from Ireland, would you say it's as simple as Andy Dufresne, Envoy Allen, Latest Exhibition?
No, I'd say it's Abracadabras.
Abracadabras in the 2 mile.
Yeah, he beat Latest Exhibition in Navan. He was second to Envoy Allen in the Royal Bond. He bolted in at Christmas. I'd say him possibly over Andy Dufresne, Envoy Allen, and then I think Latest Exhibition at the Albert Bartlett.
Let's have a look at the British group of novice hurdlers now, and in a moment we're going to come to Shishkin, who was so impressive at Newbury yesterday. But first, we'll take it chronologically. We'll have a look at Mossy Fenn, who enhanced his claims for a Cheltenham run, at any rate, with victory in the Ballymore Leamington Novices Hurdle, a race the stable had won with the new one, who went on to win at Cheltenham a few years ago. This horse looks a rather different type to me, Mossy Fenn.
He does. He's not as speedy a horse as the new one. But he does grind it out really well here for Sam Tristan Davis. You think there he looks possibly held for third. Sam puts his whip back into his right hand. And this horse goes to lug in behind the two in front all the way down the straight. But Sam doesn't ever get any more serious with him than he is now. He must have always felt like he was going to win. And at the line, he gets on top. Now, I thought he would have won in Cheltenham on his previous start, but a stable companion ran away from him. But this horse, he looks like a stayer looking at this, and you're thinking, wow, could he be another Albert Bartlett horse? He's kept at it really well. He grounded out. But form is form, Nick. Mm. And when you look back at his previous run, you're thinking, oh, the other Twiston horse is the horse.
Yeah, the other Twiston horse you mentioned is Redford Road, who does look a thorough stayer. And we'll have a look at their runs at Cheltenham relative to one another. On this occasion, Sam Twiston Davis had deserted Redford Road in order to ride Mossy Fenn. And pick them up here, Ruby. Mossy Fenn's going rather well. Redford Road's being niggled behind, but look at the way they finish.
He is, and Jamie Bargery is shoving away and riding away. He's waiting for a split there that goes the inside of Adrian Heskin and outside James Bone, and all of a sudden Sam Twiston Davis in the purple is in trouble. Now, I really fancied Paddy Rennan in the yellow colours here, actually. I'd watched his horse behind Thyme Hill at the previous Cheltenham meeting, and I thought he would win this race, but there's no comparison. And Nigel's horse, whose name he said,
Redford Road,
steadies to jump the last. Paddy Brennan gets a length or two in the air. This is on the new course in Cheltenham, the same track where the Albert Bartlett will be run. And Redford Road, he just has to power up this hill and the cross, what is the walkway there across the track. This horse just, he gallop all day.
Interviewed Nigel the day after this, and he said, well, maybe Sam felt that Mossy Fenn was the more talented, but Redford Road's that year older, and he just appeals as a slightly stronger stayer, more hardy horse at the moment.
And I think outside of Manila Indo, he has more of the, not agenda, more
of the Albert Bartlett profile.
Yeah, I think he has.
Bit of a slugger.
Yeah. And again, obviously Manila Indo was a really good winner last year, but traditionally it's for horses with plenty of runs, plenty of experience and a bit of age.
One horse who will be going nowhere near the Albert Bartlett, not now or ever, is Shishkin, who looked all speed at Newbury yesterday for Nicky Henderson. Now, the word was at the beginning of the season, this was about the best of Nicky Henderson's novice hurdlers. Take the early stages. He was a faller at Newbury the previous time.
And I think when this race is over, I would agree with him. He was quite keen early in this race with Nico de Bond. But you see his head, how high his head carriage is. The eventual runner-up is in front with the stripy cap, navy colours, white sleeves. One down the inside takes a crash and fall. But look how keen Shishkin is in the album photo colours. Nico's struggling to get him to switch off. And I actually thought, watching this race, having watched him winning a bumper in Kempton, I was thinking live at this part of the race at home yesterday, this horse is going to trot when they get back around here next time, with the way he's pulling. And they turn into the straight, same horse is still in front, Shishkin is travelling well, horse in front, he steadied up to jump the second, this is the third last, second last is bypassed. I'm thinking, right, four furlongs out, half a mile to go, they're turning on the gas, this is going to be a real test. And they're starting to quicken it up. And you can see at times here, Nico starts to nudge on Shishkin. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's going to trot. He's going to stop. He's going to empty. But he does the absolute opposite.
Far from trotting, he canters. And he just canters. And the response for a smack is interesting to
me. It's incredible. But look, even here, you're thinking Nico's niggling. You're thinking, ah, he's, you know, the pulling early, he's going to tell on this horse. And they're starting to quicken up now as they approach the last. Nico's timing his challenge perfectly, meets the last spot on, pings it, and when he gives him a flick with his right hand, he quickens, switches it to his left, and he's going to give him another flick, he's going to quicken again. And if you look at the speed, look at him now, like, that's inside the half furlong pole. He's starting to sprint and he hits the line, really trapping. Now obviously the value has gone in him, but he is a huge runner in the Supreme.
Big player, even against this incredibly strong, or so we think, incredibly strong Irish group of hurdlers. You think he could hold his own, Shishkin?
I do. I thought that was visually very, very impressive yesterday. How strong the form is, you can tell me that, but just to watch him, you're thinking, whew, wouldn't mind owning him.
I was interested after the race. Nico de Boinville, it almost sounded as though he would favour going up to the 2.5 mile race. And Nicky Henderson was thinking of him as a supreme horse. I guess that's where the Henderson experience of Cheltenham novice hurdlers comes in.
Yeah, watching him there, the way he raced through the first half mile of the race, I would think the early exchanges in a supreme would suit him. They'll go a real strong gallop, one hurdle all the way down the straight to the last hurdle. I think it'd be easier to get him to switch off in a supreme. And the way he quickened up and stayed yesterday, you need stamina to win a supreme as well.
So I quite rarely see you as excited about a novice hurdler as you are about him.
It was just the what he did in the last half of furlong that really took me. I was sitting at home watching it yesterday and I was thinking, ah, he's going to empty, he's going to stop, he's going to get tired, and he's done the absolute opposite to what I thought he'd do.
So he surprised you, which is a rare thing and a good thing.
Good thing, I'd say.
Excellent. That's the novice hurdler, Shishkin, a player we think supreme here, I think, rather than going up in trip. Novice chasers next. Now here's a lovely horse, carefully selected, who's had enough experience now. And Ruby, you know this horse very well. He just looks a really sensible conveyance to me, and I'm not trying to damn him with faint praise. He just looks like every jockey's dream.
Usually that means big and slow, but this fella, he has ran a couple of points, I think, one or maybe two. But he'd have won in Fairy House. He'd schooled in Punchestown a couple of weeks ago. He didn't get to run at Christmas, which is actually a bit of a conundrum now. Christmas run would have qualified him for the National Hunt Chase. As it stands, he's not qualified. Everyone's well aware of that. Patrick Mullen said it here last week. But dropping back to 2.5, he really surprised us. Mm. Now, the only horse that ever gets close to him is Easy Game in second, or Easy Work, sorry, with the white cap in third there now. And City Island, the last year's Ballymore, wearing the red cap on the inside and the navy colours for Derek O'Connor. He jumped much better on this occasion, City Island, but ultimately he was a bit disappointing, albeit I would think he wants much, much better ground. But carefully selected, watch him here, pings this fence. Paws a good stride, wings out over it, but he jumps, he gets up in front, he arches his back, he jumps like a horse that would appreciate a trip more so than flicking out like a 2 mile. Like, it's in tight there, up and over, lands a bit awkward, but that's being in front, and I think with a bit of company and a bit more competitive, it would suit him. Paul gives him a slap on the shoulder, that's a much better pop than the one before, but that's what experience is. He was clumsy, he figured it out, learned from it, and he quickens up really well, jumps the second last, I'd say. This is jumps that well. horse down the inside of Chickenstown Status, the Picked On Pecked, he's out of the race. But look, for a horse you think lacks a gear, carefully selected, does quicken up really well, and he puts this race to bed quickly. Now the conundrum is, Nick, does Willie run him in the flow gas over 2.5? If he does, that means he's committed to the RSA. If he runs him in Nace in 10 days' time, it gives him the option of the 4 miler, or if he waits for Navan and the 10 up, it gives him the option of the National Hunt Chase.
Well, doesn't that depend on how much pack shuffling he's got to do and how strong his hand is as things stand in the RSA?
And it'll also depend on the horse. I mean, if carefully selected has shown Willie all the right signs that he can run in Nace on Saturday week, he might. If it takes him another week to get over this race and the flow, and we get lots of rain and the flow gas looks like it's there for the taking, you could see him going there. It'll depend on what happens in all those variables, I suppose, which is a bit disappointing. I mean, it's the first time there has been a qualification for the National Hunt Chase. And there's just not a huge amount of races in the Irish programme when you look back through it. We were thinking, God, we miss a trick. There was only 2 beginners chases. He won over 2.5, which I think is an ideal starting point for him. He didn't get to run the 3-mile novice chase at Leopardstown. The other one is in Nace and then Navan. You know, it's difficult.
And Patrick Mullins, who was occupying that seat in your absence last week, he'll have had a keen eye on that, and he'll be assessing where he might be landing up in
Patrick
the 3-mile, 6-furlong National Hunt Chase, or whatever.
Patrick probably has a better leg of Willie than any of us.
I suspect you're absolutely spot on. That's not the only conundrum that race chucked up, however, because City Island's run in second he's talking about. Right, what do we think and where's he heading?
I was much more impressed with him in Punchdown. I thought he jumped a lot better. That said, he just wants good ground. I mean, last year, because we had such good ground all the way through the season, it never showed up that he doesn't handle soft ground. I think that did show up on Sunday, that he just doesn't handle testing ground. And look, he has not quite scaled the heights he did last year, but he's definitely going the right direction.
Let's have a look at 2 for Gold's victory at Warwick last weekend. It was hard not to like, because he showed such an admirable attitude, even though the runner-up's attitude, maybe not quite so admirable. This is 2 for Gold. David Bass giving him a David Bass ride, bold, aggressive, asking him at every fence down the back at Warwick. Did you like him?
I did, and he duly answered every question David Bast asked him. You saw him there in the orange cap. He's riding from 4 straights out, and this horse really commits to it. And again, here he sits in, go on. And he's looking for them all the time, and this horse keeps answering them. You'd think after Ben, Johnny Burke was coming to deliver a winning challenge and was going to go and get by him, but eventually he doesn't. I mean, roll again in the yellow cap. He's not a superstar, but he does go a good gallop and sets an okay standard. And they took it off him when they swung across to jump these 5 fences. So the tempo was high in this race, and it was very consistent. Body language here, you would have to think Johnny Burke was going better than David Bass, but ultimately David Bass's horse, 2 for Gold, keeps finding more. I don't know, Nick, is that an RSA performance or is that a National Hunt Chase performance? I'm not certain.
Well, I think the instinct afterwards, both in terms of strength of form and manner of victory, leads you to think maybe National Hunt Chase. Having said that, the time, as was the case at Carlisle when he won a decent little race there, was pretty good.
And they've gone along, they've kept quickening and pulled a long way clear of the third. And you're looking at the RSA, you're thinking Champ, if he's over the dipper, yeah, he probably sets the standard.
Wouldn't mind taking Champ on though, would you?
Oh, I don't know, I like Champ.
Do you?
Yeah.
Still?
I do, yeah. I'd be in the Champ camp.
Okay.
In the horse, anyway.
The Champ camp. For you, yeah. Definitely not the fella he was named after.
Nah.
We'll come back to him in a minute, actually. But that's 2 for Gold, and the conundrum is still there. What would be your instinct at this stage?
He looked the way he stayed there. He looked like a National Hunt Chase horse.
Further. OK, let's talk about handicap hurdlers. Horse who doesn't have a problem staying also won at Warwick the other day. Who knows? Maybe this will be the most relevant clue thrown up by Warwick's trials day at the weekend. Silver Sheen came from Ireland from the yard of Jessica Harrington to win the Potemps qualifier. Here is Silver Sheen. What is it you like about this, Ruby?
I think he's improved with every run. I thought a mare of Willie's would win a handicap hurdle. Novices, rated novices handicap hurdle in Thurles, ran into Silver Sheen, who sprinted away from her to win. Doesn't have a whole pile of experience, pecks at the back of the last there, but gets up close home to win. Now, is there a slight concern, Nick? Will Silver Sheen be able to creep into the bottom of the Potemps? Will his rating be high enough?
I think he will, yeah. I think if you're sort of 130 odd, I think you'll...
I think he'll get in. He looks like he stays. But it's every run has been an improvement, and it's a horse definitely on the right side.
Well, in light of Ben Cottrell's tweet, Silver Sheen up 9 from the Irish handicapper, which means likely to be high 130s over here, though not definitely. Then yeah, he'll get in. Yeah. He'll get into the Potemps final.
Yeah, and definitely be a runner because it has the right profile, going the right way, improving, unexposed. I suppose the other eye catcher in Leopardstown of Christmas was the storyteller in the Potemps qualifier, snuck into 6th under Davy Russell, was 3rd to Album Kenboy and Album Photo in Punchestown last year.
That's pretty good form back in the Potemps final. But you just think it's the relative inexperience of Silver Sheen and the fact that he could do that.
Yeah, and it's on an upward curve.
Notre Parry we're going to have a look at now, who is one of the horses who unseated his rider at the final flight in the 2 mile 5 furlong Lanzarote hurdle at Kempton Park. The race was won by Burrow's Edge of the White Colours, but this is Notre Parry early in the McManus colours. This is where his race has gone, isn't it?
Yeah, makes a mistake there, and Barry has to ride him to hold the position he's in. They're going quite quick, as tends to be the case early in 2.5 mile races, but Barry is no sooner squares him to hold his position than this field starts to slow down and stack up. And having woken Notre Parry up after making the mistake, he really comes alive. And you can see Barry's hands now are starting to get a little bit higher. This horse is alive. Burrow's Edge is coming on his outside. And from here, he just gets keener and keener and keener. And I think that he, whatever chance he had, he pulled his way out of having a chance. The mistake and then getting too lit up. And he gets good and keen all the way down here, and he's racing with the choke out. And in handicaps, I think it's a negative in every race. Some horses can get away with it, but this fella didn't, and he just raced too keenly all the way through the middle part of the Lanzarote.
And he's essentially a novice, really, a significantly inexperienced horse against some real hardened, grizzled, albeit medium grade handicappers.
Exactly. So if you add in then the experience of this run, the jumping experience he got, and ultimately ends up on the floor, which is possibly a negative. The winner's coming down the outside in the white colours. The bestie man is still in front. I think it would have been close between the bestie man and the runner-up, but Notre Parry's race is run. I think maybe going back in trip, he could be a darkish one in the county hurdle.
He could be a darkish one in the county hurdle. The problem, of course, is that the trainer and the owner are loaded. Ollie Murphy's got other options for that race, and JP McManus certainly has other options for that race, and a whole load of them, and good chances as well. And perhaps a similar type in the mare Never Adapt, who won the final race at Kempton in the hands of Barry Geraghty for Nicky Henderson. Now, this mare was a certifiable lunatic on her only start last year. She looked similar first time out Cheltenham this time. She is settling a little bit better now.
Yeah, and Barry does a really good job on her. Well, he stays directly down the inside behind the two horses in front of him. He's trying to get cover, and it's not ideal when a hurdle track like Kempton is on the outside and you have no running rail on the inside. It's a hard enough place to get that cover and consistently have the cover. But he does eventually get her to switch off after she jumped a couple of hurdles, gets her to relax, and she does come through quite eye-catchingly in the straight on the next circuit to win. But you see Barry's trying to get his hands down. He got him down a second ago. They're back up now to this hurdle. Watch when he lands again. He'll go to put them. Gets one hand down on her neck. And he gets one hand down. There, he has her now. He eventually has the other one down. But that's where you meet the run rail, and she's running into a pocket where she's nowhere to go. But hands back up to turn the bend. She's just on it and off it. She's not relaxing. And I think that could be an issue at come Cheltenham, Nick. Kempton is a flat, fast track. Even though she won with plenty in hand, when you get to Cheltenham and you need to dig deep and climb that hill, these exertions could be telling.
She's got the small matter of the Betfair hurdle ahead of her.
At Newbury, yeah, which is a huge part, and that would be interesting. But like we spoke about Shishkin earlier, I think Newbury is a stamina enough track, and she'll need to settle better in that race.
And she's got the works on as well, hasn't she? She's got the hood, she's got the ring bit, she's got every contraption going. It's my tent or yours reincarnate in his Louis days.
It is, and it's a difficult enough one. But look, she's absolutely hacking here to the second last. And Barry goes out picking her up here now again in a second. He comes this side of him, having had a look on the other side. But I think he's going that well, he can decide which side he wants to come. And he's come down the outside. She has look, jumps the last really well. And from here, she absolutely scoots her.
Yeah, this is the good bit. And they're decent horses she's beating as well. Decent, solid horses who've got reasonable handicap form. She's good.
Back on. Yeah.
We got a tweet from Beely Cash King. Surely the mare's novice's hurdle on Thursday at Cheltenham Festival would suit her perfectly. There's just one problem with that.
One huge problem.
She's not a novice.
Not qualified.
So there isn't a mare's race for her, because 2.5 is going to be too far.
And she can't run the novice.
It's county or nout.
You would imagine, though, Nicky, Newbury, Bedfair Hurdle, like I said, that'll be the stepping stone.
He likes that, for sure. Let's talk about the chasers, the older chasers. Grand old... Oh, he's not that old. He's just been around for a long time and he's run loads. Frodon. He is a bit of a favourite. This is Kempton. First point is an obvious one, jumping out to the left.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed, probably because I've watched him going left-handed in the past. But, look, he just jumped to his left all the way here. Look, he looked a match on paper, Nick. Frodon, top-notch. You know, Frodon ultimately has come back to something like... Well, he's going the right direction to get back to his best. I didn't think his running Haydock was that bad behind Lost in Translation and Bristol Demai. I thought it was actually a stronger run than Top Notches in the Peterborough chase. And look at him, his inside ear is pricked. Briney has a stick in her right hand. He shuffles down here to his left. But every time Briney asks for something, this fella responds. He's only doing enough in front. And when Keeper Hill, Top Notch fades off, Keeper Hill eventually comes to him. Look at his two ears pricked. He's not doing a stroke. Pops the last. Sees Keeper Hill and away with him. He's a hard horse to get by. Do I think he will get it quite as easily as he got it there or got it in last year's Ryanair? I don't think so.
Are you inclined to kick the Gold Cup chat completely into the long grass as regards this horse?
Me personally, yes. But he's not my horse. I don't think he's a Gold Cup horse. He was very good in last year's Ryanair, but my only worry would be something really taking him on early in a Ryanair. I think he likes to, at 2.5, get on his feet and build up into the rest.
Let's just transition for a word on the Gold Cup and your old friend Ken Boy. There was a poll run last night by our good friends at the Racing TV social media team. Is Ken Boy a serious contender for the Magnus Cheltenham Gold Cup? Well, 71.4% of you are clearly right, because even if you don't fancy him, he's got to be a serious contender.
Yeah, I think if you answered no to that...
Who is a serious contender?
They didn't ask him, would he win? It was, is he a serious contender? And he had a good run in Leopardstown. He won 3 grade ones last season. So yeah, of course he's a serious contender. But, you know, those that said no, obviously don't think he'll win the Gold Cup, but they weren't asked that.
I know you're going to discuss this ad nauseum between now and the end of the series, but at this stage, do you see Albin Foto as a likelier winner of the Cheltenham Gold Cup than Ken Boy?
I probably do. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but when you look back at his Tremor run 14 months ago, he ran to sort of 171, 172 that day in Tremor. I think he ran to something similar, if not a little bit higher this year. You know, allowing him improvement for his first run, he's going to run to a similar rating as he did to last year's Cheltenham Gold Cup, and that will nearly be good enough.
Yes, I would concur. Now, champion hurdle entries this week are interesting because there's plenty of them, as you'd expect. And frankly, why not roll the dice? Because it's that kind of a year. I have challenged Ruby Walsh to find what I described as this year's Beach Road. For the teenagers, Beach Road was the winner of the champion hurdle in 1989 at 50-1, having been over fences and fallen a couple of times and then won a three-runner version of the National Spirit Hurdle. So he came out of left field, even though he knew he had talent. There is another page of these entries as well. There we go. There are the last ones. Now, there's all sorts of everything in here. Who is this year's Beach Road, Ruby Walsh?
Well, when I looked up Beach Road this morning, I had to figure out he's actually 50-1. So I went looking for something down to the entries. That could be that price, but then again, has form somewhere. And the one that cropped out for me was Darasso of Joseph O'Brien's. I thought he absolutely bolted in at last year's Red Mills Hurdle. That's Forge Meadow in front with the sheepskin noseband. In behind in the stripes is Cor Sublime, and Rashan is the horse at the back of the picture with the white face. But from here on, this race is over. 2 miles, Grade 3 Hurdle last February in Navan, or in Gorham Park. He obviously went from there to Navan, where he won the Webster Cup and beat Cadmium. Cadmium went from the Webster Cup to hose up in the Topham Chase. We haven't seen Darasso since. I do believe he's entered in Haydock at the weekend. Soft ground will be a help to him. He's a strong staying 2 miler. You asked me for a Beach Road. This is what he came up with.
This is brilliant. I asked and you delivered, and you delivered in spades. Look at that. Darasso goes to Haydock this weekend, and this horse will not be 50-1, I venture to suggest, tomorrow morning after everyone has watched this. All the roadsters have watched the road.
Well, look, I mean, he's to go out to Haydock and win on Saturday, or probably run well on Saturday to even line up. But, I mean, if he does run well or line up on Saturday, he most certainly isn't going to be 50-1.
We got a quick tweet on the champion hurdle? I think we have. Honeysuckle. Honeysuckle wins the Irish champion hurdle, then wins the champion hurdle's 9-4 favourite, says Kane Lamont.
Hard to disagree. Has a good chance of doing that.
And the entries were out this week as well for the Stayers Hurdle and the Mayors Hurdle. And you will be hearing plenty of those races this time next week, hopefully in the company of Lydia. It's been a pleasure to keep the seat warm. Ruby, thank you very much. Thank you for watching. That was The Road.